a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
VR, sleeping the snooze, peeking the deacons, keeping the rules, creeping the room, she's sneaking cheeks, finna doom cats, kidding me, little cats kill literally, how these cats talk bigotry, like an avatar forest, the machine talk Jarvis, whatever they hand you in to be Irish, your hands.
All right, a little bit of a different start to the show today. First of all, hello everybody, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I'm Tom, here with Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Well, we decided to go this route, obviously, to be relevant and obviously acknowledge what is going on in the world, let alone the country, this past week. We are a podcast centered, obviously, on coronavirus, COVID-19, the quarantine life. It's kind of been our MO since we started. But a lot has transpired in the past week.
Well, I think this is where our attention really has been this week, for sure. And I think it's more about...
Correct.
It's less about being relevant and more about standing up for something, I guess. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Obviously, for anyone out there that lives in this country, let alone lives on the planet Earth, it has been a very turbulent week, a week of protesting, week of violence, week of rioting, just a lot of anger that is kind of finally boiled over in this country when it comes to injustice, and specifically injustice with African Americans and
Black lives
and the police. Obviously, I am a product of the 90s when I grew up. Example I can give was Rodney King. When I was very young in the early 90s, the violence with the police and Rodney King occurred, and I was very young, not obviously to really understand what was going on, but there was some large-scale rioting and protests that occurred in Los Angeles. Since then, in my lifetime, I can't even count how many instances have occurred since then of Black lives being killed by the hands of the police, and... this was just it. This seems to, I'm hoping, it has been the straw that has broken the camel's back. And I think as of maybe yesterday or the day before, there were literally protests in almost every single state in the country.
Yeah, it's been quite a sight. I have definitely, I guess I would say I have some white guilt over not attending protests, you know, especially with coronavirus. It feels pretty dangerous. But I guess that's actually my white privilege right mm-hmm. there, is that I have the privilege to say, oh, I'm going to sit this out. But, you know, if you're a black person in America, you don't have that privilege. You don't have the privilege to just say, I'll think about that later. That's part of what goes along with being white, is I could say, you know, I'm not going to think about this today, or I'll have that conversation some other day. And that's my privilege. So anyway, I do have some guilt over staying at home, but that's where I've been. I've been watching the news, been paying attention. I think, you know, you've said the word violence a lot. I think there is some of that, but more than that, I think this week has been a week of discussion, really powerful discussion.
Yeah.
That needs to happen and that needs to continue. This is one of those things that I really hope it doesn't just fizzle out without any action. This is hopefully the thing that changes America. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, well put. And there has been a lot of powerful conversation, a lot of powerful reflection. You know, not to call you out, I read something that you posted on Facebook, and I know you're not an avid social media person. I really liked your sentiment about your stance on things. And we are in an age of social media where everybody feels they have to say something, proclaim something, put something symbolic up to represent that they're part of a cause. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I think that that is a kind gesture. What I really liked about what you said is it's also really time to listen. And well, I took that to heart, and it's true. And it, from same with me and my white privilege, it's time to just kind of stand back and listen and hear what needs to be said. And it's a lot.
I'm sure I'm not friends with anybody here. I did make that post public, but in any case, you know, I posted because I read an article. I have been devouring articles about all this. And I read an article that said that white silence is a problem. And I mm-hmm. thought, you know, I don't usually post on social media, but I could see how my silence indicates something I don't intend.
Correct.
So instead, I went on and I said, look, I don't usually say anything, but here's this article that made me think I needed to come here and say that I stand on the side of wanting things to change for the better, that we have so far to come, that it saddens me to see how far we still have to go.
Right.
That I cannot believe that the phrase Black Lives Matter is controversial in any way. And, you know, so I put that out there just for the sake of not being silent. But mm-hmm. yeah, I did also end it by saying, I think it's time to listen. I think white voices are what we hear everywhere all the time.
It's
about everything.
True.
So
yeah.
It's time to hear black voices. It's time to hear
yeah.
what your friends and neighbors experience on a daily basis that maybe they don't tell you about, and to listen.
Yeah.
So.
Now, again, I just really appreciated your sentiment. And yeah, I mean, this is, again, a very humbling time to see the country react and be so visceral. You know, watching what did happen, you know, kind of the spark that lit the fire, watching George Floyd
yeah.
be murdered in broad daylight in Minneapolis, and watching how the reaction from there had a ripple effect all across the country, rippled all the way here to our city, to Atlanta. And, you know, it's powerful, it's important, and it is hopefully, I'm hoping, going to be a movement. I hope that it does have some permanence.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, because of quarantine especially, we haven't really left home. And it's weird to have so much going on here in Atlanta, and I'm reading it online just like everybody else. So I could be in a different country and it would be the same thing. So I haven't seen anything, you know, up close and personal this week, because I've been at home isolating. Again, my privilege to be able to do that. But yeah, I there's a lot going on here in Atlanta, but none of it that we've personally seen, I guess, right?
No, I mean, when everything really started up here in Atlanta, which I believe was either Saturday or Sunday over the weekend, we were taken completely by surprise as to exactly how kind of close some of the action got to us. And when I say action, just some of the destruction that happened, some property destruction, some looting, a friend of ours from Los Angeles had said, hey, looks like Atlanta's really, you know, taken off. And we had known that there was the assembly down in Centennial Park when I had last checked in on it. And obviously the night evolved from there, moving over to some stuff happening at the CNN building. And then, like I said, moving up to North Atlanta where we live, the Lenox Mall, which is a mall that we drive past all the time. We've been to that mall. We've seen the commerce there. Obviously, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of white affluence. It's a symbol of money. And yeah, it went on right here in our own backyard. And like Catherine said, it's not like we're out in the world a lot. But
I think that's been the weirdest part is how distant I feel from all of Atlanta right now. I feel like not just in this situation, but especially in this situation, I felt like this before too. I feel like I could live anywhere. I could be anywhere on earth right now because I'm only in these four walls. But in any case, yeah, I think, I don't know how much more we should even say, because frankly, it's not my place. Go on and listen to other people talk about this. Listen, go online and read about it. Like Tom said, maybe donate.
Exactly.
But to round this all out, I think what I would say too is, it's important to explore, and I'm working on this week, and I feel like I work on it all the time, but especially this week, it's got me thinking about, and I saw this phrase come up on an article I read again, implicit bias.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to consider all the ways in which I personally make judgments about people or about situations. And it's not things that you do intentionally. It doesn't make you necessarily a racist person, but there are things that go through your mind before you've even had a moment to think about it. And those are the things that we all need to sit and reflect upon and say, because it's conditioning. It's conditioning from media that we've seen all of our lives. It's just exposure to the society around us has created these micro thoughts that happen before your conscious thought kicks in. And it's important to look at those and ask yourself about those and try to explore those. And it's a lifelong effort to change it. So let's all get going.
Well put. I couldn't have said it better myself. And again, I'll try to post up in the episode thread a couple of links to, you know, possible places where you can go donate, where you can possibly find some more information, like Catherine said. But yeah, we had to start with that. It's not our typical start to a show, but it is very relevant. It's going on.
Couldn't possibly ignore it.
And how could we ignore it? But for those of you who have been listening to the show, we did take a week off last week. We had done our 10th episode prior, and we said that we were going to take a little hiatus to kind of shake stuff up a little bit with how we do the show and kind of the format of the show. And we did just that. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to start doing these interview calls. I kind of experimented with my pal Omar Mendez just yesterday. I gave him a call. Omar lives in our old stomping ground of Orlando, Florida. And in this new format, we're just going to be basically reaching out to people we know all across the country and just kind of figuring out what they've been up to during this whole quarantine experience, how life has been for them in the world of COVID-19. You know, share some thoughts and some stories. And like I said, we'll cut to that eventually. And then we'll come back and we'll kind of talk about our thoughts on the interview. Today is episode 11. It is June 4th, 2020. And this is day 84 of quarantine for us.
Wow. It feels like so much longer.
It does feel a lot longer. I agree. It's just one of those things. It just feels like this is life now.
Yeah,
it feels
like
this is my life.
Exactly. Is my life.
There was a time 40 days ago when I was literally just kind of in the beginning throes of all of this, the beginning weeks, thinking that I would never be sitting here doing this this podcast again for 11 episodes, and to even say that I'm here at day 84, I've just kind of succumbed to what this is, and
yeah,
I live my day, you know, the best I can, and just get through my weeks, and I always try to just get to whatever comes next, and sometimes that's absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think it's the emotional thing too. Like, you know, forget about 40 days. You said we're in what, 80 something? So 70 days ago,
84.
I was longing for all the things that I couldn't do, and there was a lot more like nervousness.
Right.
Like you didn't know necessarily where this was all going to go. And like, now the path is kind of set. Everything sucks. It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
I've been away from the things that I might have wanted to do for long enough that I've completely forgotten about them.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I don't sit around wisting for things much anymore.
Doesn't do much good.
Yeah, well, it's human nature. You know, you adapt. Yeah. So now it's adapted to just like chilling all the time. And I'm a little concerned about the day when the day comes that I can't just keep chilling. Yeah. I don't know what that's going to be like. I'm a little fucking
when all the groundhogs come out of their caves to maybe see their shadows.
Yeah.
And, who knows?
Work. Oh my God.
And work.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be,
I have to work.
It's going to be a shock factor that is felt literally all across the board.
But we're not even there yet. I'm just dreading it now.
Oh, for sure. But when that day does come, it's going to be very interesting for a lot of people to try to brush off the cobwebs, put their best feet forward, and it'll just be baby steps. It's just going to be baby steps back into the old routine.
Yeah, I'm already sort of an introvert. I hide from society. So this has been
paradise?
Natural. Yeah, this has been natural, but also it's that thing where I don't exercise the social muscle, and it's really atrophied. I don't want to see anybody now.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I mean, it's not going away. We always talk about what, you know, where we are numbers wise. I mean, numbers are not decreasing when it comes to cases. I checked today, 1,800,000 plus cases now in our country alone of COVID-19. And sadly, the death toll does continue to rise at 107,000 deaths. And that's and counting. And, you know, there is kind of the stark reality as well that these protests, these mass gatherings that have gone on across the country are incredibly important. But the kind of downside to this is they are going to possibly be touted as super spreader events.
Yeah, as an unintended side effect of all this, we may see a jump in cases.
I think so. I don't want to be pessimistic about it, but I think we should probably prepare for a possible other wave. I'm not sure, but
hold on to your hats. My God, I have something in my throat.
Okay, Catherine is choking live on air here.
Oh my gosh. I have seen people say it's worth it, and I get that though.
Of course.
I mean,
it is part of that
sacrifice.
You have to
strike when the iron is hot.
Yeah.
People are paying attention and keep them paying attention. So thanks. Thank you. That's part of it. I hate, you know, saying earlier I felt some guilt over not being out there, but I also feel really deep gratitude for the people out there making the point that I want to make.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel the same exact way. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your vigilance and for your voice. But yeah, I mean, we got numbers on the rise. So when it comes to COVID-19, a lot of stuff's starting to open back up. States are starting to jump to different phases. The biggest news I just read was Disney World's going to apparently set their first phase of opening on July 11th. The NBA apparently is going to be back on July 31st. There's been talks of collegiate sports possibly starting up, even though I read something where I believe Alabama players, the five of them tested positive in training camp. So there's a lot of hurdles still to come over here.
Players of what sport?
Of collegiate football.
Oh.
At the team in Alabama. I just read that. So yeah, everybody's kind of tiptoeing back into the waters. We're trying to open stuff back up. We're really kind of, we're giving it the old, no pun intended, college try.
States are. I still don't think that it's a wise thing. I still think as much as you can, please stay home.
I think so, too. I think that you need to exercise discretion. I don't think it's a time to, you know, rush your kids out to Chuck E. Cheese and, you know, just, like I've heard so many people say, this thing isn't over because we want it to be over.
No.
You know, that's just the reality. I've said this on many of the episodes, is that this thing is a very unknown situation. Even when it comes to the vaccines, I mean, granted, there's always the good news that kind of finds its way into the mainstream news cycle that, you know, hey, we're producing vaccines, we're testing vaccines, vaccines are in trials, but we still don't even know if vaccines are going to get us to where we need to get with this thing. So I think it's going to be a lot of self-care still.
I did read an article recently. Fauci said that he's still optimistic that there could be mass-produced vaccines by early 2021, and that's still a long ways away.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was that same article and if it was Fauci that said this, but I did also read more evidence backing up the idea that a vaccine might only last about a year, a season, you know, just like the flu. That's fine. I'll get it every year, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's not going to be much of a choice if you want to try to stay on the straight and narrow once a vaccine comes out. I mean, congratulations. It's going to be the new flu shot. And if you get it,
I'm there.
You probably got a little bit more of an armor against it. If not, it's possibly fair game for a while. And that is what it is. But I feel we've done a good job, you know, with talking about the protests. We talked about, obviously, COVID-19. Let's move over to the interview. We're going to throw to that right now. Again, this is me talking to Omar Mendez. Omar is a good friend of ours, again, from Orlando. We talk about a smattering of different things. Omar actually works as an instructor at Full Sail University in Orlando.
Which is?
Which is a film and media college, I guess I could say, possibly institute. They teach everything from film production to live production, which Omar is an instructor doing.
Broadcast and music.
Broadcast, music. It's a rich school of many different degrees. A lot of kids from all over the world go there. And Omar has actually still been working. Him and his wife are both instructors there. And they've been working through this entire crisis that's been going on. And Omar was nice enough to share some time with me. We talk about his experiences continuing to teach at Full Sail, how they've had to kind of pivot to create online content for students, and a whole lot more. So we're going to go to the interview with Omar. Here it is.
Your call is important to us.
So you've been going to work like Monday through Friday. What's your schedule like?
Well, when everything started happening at where I was working out, I don't know if you want me to say it, but at Full Sail, we had this big event. We do it every year. It's where we induct like people who've graduated. They're called Hall of Famers. So we induct like 6 to 8 of them every year. And it's like a big thing. The school throws crap load of money, does a big production for it. It's really cool. It's really awesome, especially for the people who get inducted. And it's like a whole week thing. It's a great networking event as well for the students. They meet like all like Grammy Award winning producers, graphic artists, you know, all the departments of what the school teaches. Like these people come back, and in that week they have like these seminars. So all of this is great. And this was happening literally right before it broke here.
Really?
In the U.S. Like, it was, like, I think at the time, it's like, Italy was just getting hit.
Wow.
Like really, really bad, right?
Yeah.
And to the point, like, because because I work in the show production aspect, we had this big stage outside. And we had to set up starting that Friday, like, getting the gear.
Wow.
Laying everything down, work Saturday, Sunday. And then that Monday was the first day of the thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, no lie, Friday morning we had a big production meeting saying that this could be canceled. Like, just saying, like, we could be setting up the weekend, and then on Monday they could say we're canceling everything and break everything down starting on Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, so it was like a, hey, we could be setting up for nothing,
right?
Or we could actually have the event.
Right.
So,
right.
The school was like, you know, we're keeping an eye on this right now and all this kind of stuff. And I want to say that Thursday is when they started it started coming in the American. They started, you know, like California said, we're closing down. I think they were like the first ones or something like that. Like, it just started, like, it was like domino effect. Right?
It was,
and of course,
it really was.
We all, I mean, let's be honest. Like, when it first came in, we didn't think it was that serious. We joked around like, oh, it's the flu, whatever, this and that.
Right.
And like, just to give you an idea, like, there's over 2,500 people at this event throughout the whole day, you know, throughout the 5 days, every day, like, you know, people walking around.
Yeah.
We have international students. We have everyone from all over the world.
Wow.
You know, the United States, all that at our school.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when they said, hey, we're going to shut down, you know, my wife and I, we like looked at each other and like, are we in trouble? Because like, we were around people during all this.
Shit.
And we're like, yeah, I was like, well, we have to wait for the 14 days, you know, so we try to quarantine ourselves.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, but like, it was, you know, like, and again, this is before what we know, can we know now, even though we don't know a lot, but it's still
right
back. You know, just imagine, you said like 70 some days ago, like, what did you know compared to what you know now, you know?
Very, very true. And so, yes. Like,
I walked around and, like, you know, just imagine like a big concert walking down the middle of the thing with my camera and stuff like that. You're just like, I could have caught it if there was something were to happen here in Orlando, you know?
Wow.
And so, like, we were kind of nervous about that.
Right.
And of course, I didn't take it seriously. Like, I'm just like, you know, I haven't been sick in a very long time. So I'm like, it's for old people, what everyone's been saying, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it didn't like really hit me. But so Thursday was the last day of that event. And then that next Friday, we start breaking down, and we show up on Friday, and the rumors was like, hey, this weekend might be the last weekend that we'll be at school working at school. I mean, like, saying we still have our jobs,
right?
But there's going to be no school. Like, everything's going to go online.
Interesting.
And just give you an aspect of Full Sail, like, majority of the classes, they're online.
Like, already, like, online.
Yeah, besides, okay, like, film, because you have to actually go out and film something with the crew.
Yeah, right.
And us and show production, like, we do like live events. Like,
yeah,
how can
it's a more hands-on trade. Yeah,
exactly. But like graphic design, like, or like anything like dealing with, like, you know, designing something or making video games, like,
sure,
you could do that. Hey, we're going to do this online. Mm-hmm. Here's this thing. Blah blah blah. Music, go in. You know, the whole shabam about that. But like with us, like, film and us, we were the only two that were like, oh, this really does not do well for us. Like, it's hard.
Interesting.
To you know, just imagine, like, you're a filmmaker. Like, I could tell you how to focus a camera and how to white balance and how to change the aperture, but you know, if you don't have the camera in front of you, you're going to go like this. Like, yeah.
Very
okay,
much.
Whatever I got to do.
Very much
class,
so. It's
know?
A very hands-on craft. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, was it something where your departments already had kind of an idea of how you were going to do this, or did you basically just have to hit the ground running and create the online curriculum?
So like I said, Friday we broke everything down.
Right.
We still had classes Saturday and Sunday that weekend because of this event. It pushed all the classes. Like, it's kind of spring break, but not. You still had to do all your classes. So like, it threw a wrench in our classes, you know,
sure,
for the month.
Sure.
And then, you know, it was like, all right, so that Sunday was the last day of students being at school, right? We had a big meeting Monday morning, and it was pretty much all of us, and pretty much, like, luckily we have great bosses, and they already kind of thought of an idea. Like, so there are like two parts in our degree that kids take online. And what's funny is when they take that class online, everyone takes that month off in a way, like, they go back home and do that class online, so they're at home or whatnot.
Hmm.
So if you already took the first class, then you jump into the next class that's online. So, like, you know, say, like, in 6 months you will be taking that class. It's like automatically everyone's going to be in the class. So that teacher had, say, if he averages like 15 students a month,
mm-hmm,
he has like all 50 some students, right?
I gotcha.
And then anyone below it went to this other class. We were like, hey, that gives us a month buffer, right?
Oh, there,
like,
you go. Yeah.
Gives us like a month. But then it was like, all right, say if we don't come back after April, and we don't come back in May. Because, you know, at the time, the governor was like, oh, we're gonna try to open up May 1st.
Yeah, that was the original goal, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're like, all right, we could do this. So I looked at everyone, and I know, you know, I'm the video guy in my department,
yeah,
and I've made lots of videos, especially with you. That's how we have this great relationship. And I know how to make content, especially on the fly.
Without a doubt, yeah.
I was the busiest person. to this day, I had so my first class that we filmed, we live streamed it. That was like, you know, we still had another week of school. So we live streamed our labs, like me talking, whatever. And this is before social distancing was like a big thing and mask.
Okay.
So the bigger ups saw our production and they loved everything, but they saw this first few videos and they're like, no social distancing, no PPE mask and all that. So we had to reshoot all this stuff this past week, like last Wednesday.
For archival, for like to use it again kind of stuff?
To use it yesterday. I had to shoot everything last week.
Man.
So we're shooting a month worth of classes in 2 days.
Holy
then your
God.
your boy had to edit a month worth of classes to be delivered on before Tuesday, before the first class.
Wow. So what were those 2 days like? Just freaking ball breaking?
Well, you know what? Like, I have a great team. Don't get me wrong.
Sure, sure.
The people I work with are awesome. And everyone has their niche. You know what I'm saying? Like,
perfect, yeah.
Certain people are really good at this. And I took over the production as in filming, making sure it looks good.
Right.
And editing. Like, I kind of directed it. I have a great coworker named Susan. She did, like, the producer role, getting, like, all of the, you know, the stuff that we needed to shoot, like the kind of like a shot list or the kind of like the schedule for the day.
Right.
And then the people, because it's like, if I'm editing and directing this, I can't be always the one in front of the camera. Like, I have to have people
sure
to do all the, like, we're teaching all audio aspect of live production. So like, you
so
know,
like on a board and stuff, right? Yeah, like how to use the board,
setting up the microphone, God. Speakers, the console, EQing it,
right,
sending it out, record, like all that. That's just the audio aspect. Then lighting, setting up lights, you know, 3-point lighting, focusing, and all this kind of stuff. And then the video, how to set up a tripod, camera, focusing, the switcher going in and out, like all right that in 1 month, in 2 days, and then editing all through the
what was
and
the
stuff like that.
What was like the total TRT of everything that you did? Like, how many hours of footage did you end up cranking through?
So because I'm able to clock in, that's another, like, I'm grateful
hey, that's,
to have a job.
That's
don't
awesome
get me wrong.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I am so grateful to have a job. So let's see. I started because the new week starts on Sunday.
Okay.
From Sunday to Tuesday before it was released, I already had close to 30 hours clocked in and edited, because I was editing like all day.
And then basically, as from a teaching standpoint, that's also all the teaching you have to do. And then are you also still moderating all these students as well and grading
yeah
them and still putting them through all the ringer of your course and your, you know, your typical, like, if kids were just still coming in and going to school, you still have to be there. You still have to be the teacher role.
Exactly. So the videos are like, hey, you know, watch this.
Right.
Come to the lab and I'm there to do one-on-ones with you and help you out with your homework, because you still have to put in your time and
sure
everything else. You know, like in my class, like, we teach you how to set up this stuff. And then imagine if you were to give me like a stage plot of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to go like, hey, I'm hiring you to set up speakers and stuff like that. I need a stage plot to hire these people to put it together.
Yeah.
So in that kind of aspect, that's like their homework. So the videos shows them the equipment, how to set everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come to the labs and we talk about all that. And then I help them out with their homework. That's if they do show up, because that's another thing too. Like, kids are not showing up. And what I'm really scared now, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm just going to be real.
Sure.
When I'm in my 50s and 60s, I'm going to the doctor and I'm going to ask them, what year did you graduate? And if they say anything after 2020 and above, I'm not going to trust that doctor.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Because I know what the kids are going through right now, and I know what we're doing.
I
and,
can't
and
imagine
like
how hard it is, man. To like, and, you know, that's, the thing is it's like, it's one thing when there's a mandatory element of having to show up and having to mm-hmm. be there every day. But it's, and that's even kids in high school now. It's like, I mean, part of me really feels for these kids that graduated this year, because it's like, already you had senioritis when you were, can you imagine how much, like, zero fucks these kids gave in the last like 3 months of high school?
Oh, 100%, 100%. So like, and I'm seeing it, and I'm in college, you know what I'm saying? And
oh my God.
And like and like, to be honest, I'm like, when they're in the lab rooms, like
right.
I'm like pretty much grabbing their hands. I'm like, this is what you have to do. Like,
right, I see.
Don't copy me word for word, but like, I am doing your homework. Just kind of follow me along.
Of course,
and
yeah.
They still don't do it. They still don't get it right. Like, I'm literally like, hey, you should put the console here and then run the cables this way and then name it this and do this.
Yeah, right.
And I'm doing it for them, and I'm, you know, I have the Zoom for it.
Exactly.
And then when they go and turn in their homework, you're like, what did you watch? Like, where did it go?
Let me ask you something. So, like, you know, here we are now in this stage of the whole COVID-19 thing and how it has obviously really changed kind of the dynamic of what you do at Full Sail. Do you think that moving forward, how do you think the future is going to look at Full Sail? How do you think the future is going to look at a trade school like this? Do you think that they're going to see the strength in on more online video work and more of just like kids doing what they're doing now in the future? Or do you think they also will gravitate back to having the classroom settings and crowds of kids?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's something, yeah, everyone's been bringing that up. We don't know. What I see, like, you know, before I started working at Full Sail, I was doing a lot of commercials for online school, like virtual schools and stuff like that. And I remember in college, I tried to do like a, not like you just do it on your own. Like you didn't have to go to class. You just went in and did your tests on certain days and whatever. I couldn't do that. I needed somebody to like, hey, you need to come here, do this homework. And then do, you know, like mm-hmm. I needed that structure because totally. That's how I was built.
Yep.
And I was not built, like, especially me at 18 years old, are you telling me, like, come on, let's be real, you know,
right.
Complete different person now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, it's just, what's going to be weird is, like, the social, you know, engagement with people are going to be really different, you know? Like, that's the thing, like, my industry, where I'm at, you have to go out, you have to be around people.
100%.
And, you know, like, especially, like, say, you know, we tell my students, like, you could be working for a rock band, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Motley Crue or Drake or whoever, right? And then when that concert's done, you could be working for a high-end hotel doing corporate events. So you have to like adapt between the two. But imagine if you like can't speak with somebody in front of like, you know, a client
that
is willing to drop $50,000 exactly. on his event. You're just like hiding behind your cell phone or sending texts. You know, it's like,
And if you think about it, if you go out and you've seen this too, even in the videography world that you work in as well, is that you're always dealing with different vendors. It's the communication between different vendors, just like on a set, it's a communication between departments. So like, as we learned when we went to film school back in the day, you did learn whether you were in school or you learned as you started off in the industry is that you really have to learn to communicate with people. So if that human element's out of the mix, yeah, you might have a bunch of kids that just get the diploma, but then they get out there and they're just like, I don't really know like how to do that. I don't know how to talk to people, you know?
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's not saying like, you know, like the schooling or the teaching, I just think of just what everyone's going through with like technology. It's just they, you know, you see it right now on social media. Like they,
so
somebody
true.
Could cuss me out and make fun of me on social media, but when I see them face to face, they won't even look at me,
so
you know?
True.
And I'm 5'2", and I look at these 6'10 guys and they like, oh, I'm afraid of you. I'm like, yeah, I'm like a little chihuahua and I
That's
knock
so
you out.
Funny,
you know?
Man. Yeah, dude, it's gonna be very interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that with me. Another thing I want to talk about in your line of work, and I find this very interesting too, is, and of course, what I'll do is I'll put all your, you know, your links to your company and your social media and stuff on the show thread so people can find you and your businesses and what you do. But another thing that you and your wife do on the side is you have started up a wedding videography and live stream service, and you cater to weddings, you cater to many live events. And I guess what I'm starting to see you do is pivot. And it's an interesting pivot. So talk to me about mm-hmm. that, because I'm very interested in what you are doing. And I know you're kind of like, you're kind of getting into this cutting edge stuff, which I find is perfectly you. And I'm very interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we my wife and I started this slow motion video booth just to make extra income on the side for us to have some funny money, you know, to, hey, we want to do this weekend. Or, you know, it's not like a full-time job, but it's awesome. Like when we first started it, like we only did like 4 weddings, and then we started doing like 20, then 30. And then, this year, like we didn't promote it as much. We did 2 weddings before all of this went. And then we had a couple of events, and all that's now been getting pushed either later on the year or
right.
beginning of next year. We're just waiting to see. And again, like I feel bad. A lot of the people in our industry are hurting. They're like, you know, this is their bread and butter.
Right.
But, you know, we started, you know, Mariante's background is TV production. And what I noticed and what I learned from Full Sail is that they when they buy gear, they make sure when they buy gear is good for like six different things. It's not like we're buying this camera for this one class.
Yeah.
This camera,
right.
We're going to spend $50,000 or whatever.
Right.
And we need to make sure this camera can do eight different things.
It's a multi-purpose purchase.
Exactly.
Right.
So when I started purchasing the stuff for our company, I was like, okay, the slow motion video, the camera does slow motion, but it can also film. And I just need to buy certain little things and then I could live stream. And I started tapping into live stream before it became cool. Like you remember, you came over to my house and I got that switcher and it was like,
yeah, you had some fun toys. Yeah. I was like, these are cool.
Like, yeah, no one was doing that. Yeah. Like before even gamers was doing like the Twitch stuff, you know? And I was just like kind of playing around with it. And it was just, I was just buying little bits at a time.
Assembling your cache of stuff.
Yeah. And then this thing hit and, you know, I looked at Mud. I was like, we can do this. Like we could legit do this. And because of this, like, you know, we never were like, hey, we're going to start streaming weddings because it wasn't like no one was asking for it. Like,
right.
You could tell like a bride, like we could stream your wedding. She's like, why? You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to have 200 people at this wedding. Those are the people that I want to be there.
Right.
But now because of this, streaming has become a very sexy thing. It's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Now we can do it. So like I don't know when you're going to post this, but we're doing a wedding on Friday.
Awesome.
This Friday. And we're streaming it. And we're doing it for free because we need content for our our website and stuff like that. And also if we mess up, we're like, hey, we did it for free. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's not, don't blame us,
twofold.
But like, but the main thing also is like, we want to showcase this and put our name on it and we can do it. And at this wedding for real, there's like six people that are going to be there. It's like the officiant, those two, the bride and groom.
Like physically at the location.
At the location. Like,
okay.
I saw the floor plan. There's one row of chairs.
Interesting.
Like, you know, that's it. And
okay.
And then us, so like, and we made like you know, a schedule of time for the YouTube, and then we also made a group page for them to invite their friends and family. There's like over 75 people already joining that group, and we started this on Monday. Sorry, Monday we shared it with them.
That's cool. And you're gonna do the live stream using something like a YouTube player. How does that work?
Yes. So we are, so we're going to be using OBS. I don't know if you know that software.
No, not familiar.
So OBS lets us take our, it takes all of our sources. So like I could bring my camera. So we're doing two cameras. I have a wireless camera that I'm going to be on a gimbal, and then I'm going to have a steady shot like down the pipe, right?
Yeah.
And I bring both of those into my laptop, and then OBS could see like, here's camera one. Here's camera two.
Nice.
We have like a splash page, like, you know, is a thumbnail with their name. And I made this quick edit. It says like live stream starting soon with a YouTube
cool
licensed song. You know what I'm saying? So like we don't get shut down. So like I pick one of the songs that YouTube said we like it. So I'm like loop that sucker until we stream. We will stream. We have the audio, all that. Go OBS. Go to the different. You know, ins and out with the two cameras, and then when they say I love you, they kiss, they walk by me,
there you go,
fade out, thank you for watching, our logo, and then it's done.
That's great, man. And this is interesting because I mean I think that this kind of solution is going to be a necessity, you know, for a lot of people, man, because as much as there's truly no end date to this this whole virus, and even like when there might be a vaccine and when people will actually feel comfortable again having mass gatherings, people can't wait forever. And also too, it's just that this alternative beats, you know, hey, hold this, hold my iPhone and let's film it on Instagram, you know, whereas you give it a professional touch and it's just going to be a little more memorable for people that I think want to move forward and do it now rather than push it a year in advance or even longer than that.
No, exactly. And it's funny you brought up the iPhone thing. I before I started doing before you know we said that we're going to do this about maybe November or October last year, some lady called me and she's like, hey, I heard through the grapevine that you guys do live stream. This bride of ours, like, and this wedding was like mad expensive. She's like,
yeah,
she paid for live stream for us. She says she had the service, paid for it. I'm like, okay. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Can you come in and help us out?
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, this is my rate. And she goes, done. So I come out and I bring my gear and she goes, no, I just want you to do it on my phone.
Wow.
On my
iPhone. Yeah.
And I was like, you don't, she's like, no. I was like, well, the price that I gave you was for my gear. She's like, I don't care. I just want you just to do this because I'm in a pickle. And I was like, okay. And legit, I held an iPhone on a tripod.
That
like
is one incredible, of those little, man.
And I was shaking, like, because it was a very long, like, they had speeches and everything. And I was just like, I hear the grandma talking and she's like, what did he say? You know, because like it's going through
God,
the speaker to
right.
the iPhone. Oh, it was just,
you're,
and I
you're
had
like
my
praying that
on.
She doesn't get a phone call or some shit.
Yeah, I'm like freaking out, right? But hey, it wasn't me.
No, of course, that's perfect.
But then I looked at it, I was like, they paid that much for that, and what I'm giving is like,
oh God,
is like
yeah.
Christopher Nolan style,
yeah.
the way you should watch it.
Yeah, you're gonna get a Tenet wedding video rather than just some kind of like homemade ditty that you're gonna make on your iPhone. It's awesome, mm-hmm. man. I'm very interested to see that. I don't know if, again, there'll be like a URL or a link. It'd be nice so we can direct people to kind of show people what you're talking mm-hmm. about. But that's awesome, dude. I want to hit on a couple other things real quick before we wrap this up, because you are in Florida. Of course, we're both rocking the representing the southern states. And I know that my state, I think, is a little bit ahead of yours with the whole like opening everything back up. And we did that pretty early on. Not necessarily sure how that's going to pan out inevitably. But I also just saw your governor announcing you guys are going to start opening bars and bowling alleys and stuff starting, I guess, as early as end of this week, next week. What are your thoughts on that? And already, what are you seeing in the ebb and flow around? You live in Orlando. So, like, how do you see the reactions there and in comparison to when this started, to comparison to kind of, like, people coming out of their caves now, more or less?
Mm-hmm. Well, first is it, you know what's really weird is when, you know, I love when they're like phase two, they're going to open up bars, movie theaters,
right.
and bowling alleys.
Yeah.
I'm like, is bowling alleys really a top three thing that you should put in this?
They did
like,
that
I
here.
Think you
yeah.
should put like something else in there, you
yeah.
know, like.
Who knew bowling alleys were so fucking popular?
So big. Like, oh my gosh. It's like, we cannot
open bowling
alleys right
now.
The whole state is done. It was just so funny reading that. It's like, and bowling alleys. I'm
yeah.
just like. When's
great
the last
addition.
Time I've been to the bowling alley, you
yeah.
know?
People want to bowl, I guess.
I guess. But, like, I'm not the one to say, like, what's going on because I don't know the numbers and all
sure.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I do want us to open up and in the sense to get people back working because our unemployment system here is laughable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right.
I think the kids in down the street of the elementary school runs the you know the unemployment system here. It's
sure.
just crazy, like how
yeah.
you know it's day. You say day 70, and people are still like still haven't got it, or they're like, oh, you know you didn't put a period in this part here. And
I know.
Now you get to start all over again. It's like how
it's a broken like, system.
It is very broken system, and I'm just afraid, you know, like what you see, what's going on with the world, like everyone's temper is getting really short. And what's the next thing, you know, which I don't want to know and I don't want to see.
I know.
Like, I want everything to go back to not normal, but like to get well, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
we
sure,
really
man.
We need something. And, you know, it is scary. Like I still go when I go to Publix, I wear my mask. I follow the signs and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it's funny because like you know, my wife does all the grocery shopping because she cooks. And I when I go there, I buy like the three things I need and I get the hell out. Right.
It's from my book.
But
yeah.
I went in there recently and I remember before I went in there, they had like the exit line, like you had to do like a maze and they tell you which register to go to.
Interesting.
So when I went in, I was like, oh, that thing's gone now. Like, it's like kind of going back to normal. And I was like, when do you guys take that away? And the lady's like, oh, like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, wow. So I haven't been here in 2 weeks. So thank you for letting me know that.
Interesting.
But like, what I want to know is like, you know, Orlando, we live off of the theme parks. And whatever the theme park says, like, you know, the governor could tell you, hey, we're going to phase two. Let's be honest, is Disney telling, yo, we could go to phase two. And they're like, okay, yep, no problem. We'll go to phase two, you know?
All eyes on Disney and Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they bring the money. I mean, that's all, like, when before all this happened, my wife was, you know, she was getting nervous, and I was like, don't worry about it. As soon as Disney shuts down, then we should start freaking out. And then 3 hours later of me saying that, Disney's like, we're shutting down until like next week. And I was like, ooh, okay. And then they're like, we don't even know we're going to open. And I was like, all right, now we need to take this seriously.
I think not even just you guys, like when that happened, because I remember thinking that too. And when we first started talking about, you know, how, oh, wow, look at these states are kind of all falling into line. And you do look at a place like Disney World, which literally you guys generate so much international travel from. You started seeing airlines shutting down. You started seeing us kind of banning certain international flights. But yeah, when really a beacon like that shuts itself down, which is completely unprecedented. I mean, I can't think of another time in history. I believe there was only one other time that Disney has actually shut down for a prolonged period of time. It's crazy. Yeah.
It has to be like something like a hurricane. Like, I remember when I was in college working at Universal, and when we got hit by those, you remember those three hurricanes that came by when we were in college?
Yeah, Charlie and the other ones. Yeah.
Francis and whatever.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
We wouldn't close until Disney said they're closed. And the hurricane had to be like 10 miles from coming to Orlando. Like, Disney was like, we ain't closing. It ain't coming this way. And they're like, it's like 10 miles away. And they're like, we ain't closing. And then they're like, all right, we close. And Universal would be like, oh, yeah, we're closing too.
Yeah.
So when Universal said that they're not opening until after May 31st, and they said that before Disney, I was like, okay, somebody got some balls right there. Let's go ahead and see that. But, I mean, I want us to open up. But, like, what's crazy is the new norm. You remember before 9/11, you know, I could have walked with you all the way to the terminal and sat with you until you got inside that plane.
Yes.
Now I can't go past the luggage area.
You're right, man.
See you later.
Bye. It changed. That event changed a lot of how we run and how we operate as a country.
Exactly. So now, like, you know, if you're sick, if you're not wearing a mask, people are going to look at you all weird. Like, what are you doing? You need to be wearing a mask. Doesn't matter if you have the sniffles, you wear a mask, you know?
Yeah, man.
You know, touching things, like, I've washed my hands so much, it's ridiculous. Like, I seen a funny meme that some guy's like, he washed his hands so much that the high school cheat codes were in his hands.
That's great. It's true, man. I went through phases. Like, in the very beginning, I'd washed them so much, they started to get kind of, like, raw and callous. And, like, you know, I was, like, putting all this, like, moisturizer on it. But now it's almost like when you get calluses on your fingers or hands, it's, like, just because I've been such a wash warrior, it's, like, now I don't even have that problem anymore.
No, exactly. Like, we ever since this thing started, we don't bring our shoes. Like, we leave our shoes by the door. Like, we walk.
Same,
you know,
same with us, yeah.
We have indoor shoes now.
You're smart.
when we come in, first thing I do, wash my hands. Even though if I went outside to check the mail, come in, wash my hands. Just, you know, we don't know. And it does, like, let's be honest, like, before all this, I wasn't serious until, like, you know, until it hits home, you know, when you realize, oh my gosh, something's happened. So what I think what needs to happen is, and I don't want it to happen, but it's going to be serious when it hits home for certain people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the people who don't care and they're just like,
yeah,
there's
man.
A free country, I do whatever I want,
I think
which
so.
Is true, you can.
Yeah.
But once, you know, you see your mom or your dad or your sister or whatever in a ventilator, and you're,
it's
like,
different story.
This is what happened.
Different story, man. Mm-hmm. And you never want to think that it's going to get to that point. And I think that's the scary kind of thing about this is, like you said, it started off slow, a very slow burn, and then it just started turning into a fever pitch, and here we are, you know, 100,000 people later that have died. And, you know, in the weird thing of how big our country is, it's like, I don't think I can count on one hand a person that I know that has actually died from COVID-19, but that's a lot of people, man. That's like a lot. It's a big number. It's a big death toll, and it's just like, yeah, it's, and especially, I think, the whole thing of, like, we do have to open up to better the economy and to get the ball rolling again, but there's the potential danger that it would possibly have maybe another phase to it. It could come back in the possible flu season. There's too many what ifs. There's, like, we're definitely in that weird gray area where there's not enough answers, and there's still just a lot of, like, people out there that just they want it to be over, so they just think it's over, you know. So it's,
no,
like,
yeah.
I'd rather err on the side of caution personally, and that's how we've been living here, is, like, there's some semblance of our life coming back, but I'm not rushing to a movie theater. I'm not rushing to go bowling. I'm not rushing to get a haircut. You know, I'm just like, I'm just taking my time, you know, to like acclimate myself back to life.
Yeah, as you can see, me neither. I'm shaving it all off yeah. June 18th, but
it looks good though. That beard is looking rich and full. I've never seen you with that bushy of a beard. I love it.
Me neither. It's the first time I've seen it. I can't believe I actually could grow this. I thought I never hit puberty, but
I've regressed to my pubescent stage with shaving mine off.
But you're right. Like, you know, it's it is scary in that aspect. And what I think is kind of weird is I know there's all these people are trying to find a cure or trying to find this, but I feel like none of them are working with each other because they all want to get it to make that money. You know what I'm saying? Man. Except for trying to help the world is somebody's trying to help their pocket. You know, like I'm just surprised that, you know, I love old school movies, you know, like
for sure, dude.
Independence Day when we finally found out how to destroy the aliens. What right. did? We Morse code. Everyone in the world and be like, this is how you kill them. It wasn't like, hey,
God, we need,
we know how
we
to
need
do
a
it.
Bill Pullman president real bad right now.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't like, oh, we figure out how to kill them. You need to pay us and we'll kill them for you. You know,
yeah,
it was like, okay, we figure it out here. You know, let's help each other out. But like, all I see on the news is like, this company is trying to figure this out. This company is trying to figure this out.
They're
trying to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, this country is doing that. It's like, why isn't no one like, I don't know. And again, I don't even know they are, but like,
I know
all I see is like, somebody's trying to be the first and trying to get that money.
It's a race. That's what it is. It's definitely a race. And I mean, the whole like Operation Warp Speed or whatever sci-fi fucking name Trump gave this thing. I think it's like a noble attempt to do it, but I think what you said is correct, is that there's going to be more of a company trying to edge itself into a monopoly of it. It's like, the early bird gets the worm. So I think, honestly, you have to be safe doing these things and rolling this out, because it's like, even as much as it's like, oh, we just want to get a vaccine by, January or late fall, it's like, that'd be the best case scenario. But in reality, you don't just rush drugs out to people. You don't just, like, come get your free vaccine shot. It's like, if this has a fallout after the fact, it just puts us back in the same situation. So it's a super fragile balance of, like, maybe not rush it too much. And at the same time, you know, hey, the social distancing seems to be working. Wearing masks seems to be working. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should just all do that.
I just think also, like, what I can't wait is the commercials of, have you tried this drug? It helps out with COVID-19,
oh my God.
with the family, like, having a good time. And the side effects are, you lose your leg something like that, you know?
It's going to be 2021 or 2022. It's going to be, like, on every freaking commercial. There'll be, like, three
every
of those.
Every commercial.
Call this,
like,
law
the 24-hour
firm.
News.
This class action lawsuit. Dude, it is crazy. The world is a crazy, crazy place. Thank you for doing this. I love you. Good seeing your face and talking to you. Thank you for being my guinea pig on this. I think this worked out very well.
I hope it sounds, and I hope I answered everything that you needed. I feel like I didn't do it.
No, you did.
Job, but...
You did very well. And again, I'll put all your info for, you know, your endeavors, for your businesses up on the thread for the episode. But dude, thanks
appreciate
a lot.
That.
This was a lot of fun, and I'm sure I'll talk to you again.
Yes, and you guys be well, be safe, stay safe and be healthy and all that fun stuff, all right? And hopefully you guys get back to work. That's the main thing.
Amen. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm really glad Omar did that with me. I mean, he's just a great sport. Again, he was great. I thought he talked about a lot of really good stuff. Obviously stuff that I don't know anything about that he had to deal with.
Yeah, it's really fun just getting somebody else's perspective. I mean, you know, we've done this with just the two of us forever, and it's really nice to hear somebody else tell us what their life is like.
Yeah, and I think that's the purpose of us kind of revamping the format of the show and trying this new kind of call interview style. And I'm going to continue to keep doing this. I'd like to try to do one every episode. Again, hey, if you're a listener and you know me, even if you don't know me,
especially.
Hey, why not? I would have no problem connecting with you, talking about how your life has been in quarantine. And I'm going to try to get different perspectives. You know, I know a few people personally that live all over the country in different places. I know everybody's going through something a little bit different, has a different situation, because I'm sure after 10 episodes, you're tired of hearing about our situation.
Yeah, right. Maybe I'll do a few. I don't know. I mean,
it's a great idea.
I went to school for journalism. I interview people as part of my job. I feel like I'm pretty halfway decent at it. I think that'd be fun.
I think it would be great. And people are probably sick of hearing my voice, so they're gonna be fist pumping.
Hey, can I
that.
Count myself there?
Of course. Yeah, I know you're one of those people. Well, listen. Thank you everybody for listening to the show. We're so glad that you guys continue to listen. Thanks to the Ono Radio Show for letting us broadcast on their network. As I always do, I throw all important links up in the show thread, videos that we play, songs that we play. And also, now that I have guests, I'll be throwing some links to either their social media or, for instance, like I just talked to Omar, and some links to Omar's company so you can check him out. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to take you out with another, I'd like to call it a relevant jam, especially to some of the stuff that's been going on today and in the past week in the country. It is from artist YG, and it's called FTP.
I just want to say, everybody, stay safe and keep the conversation going.
Love that. FTP, and I'll leave it up to you to decide what that means. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That's how I feel. By a Glock, burnt down a block, that's how I feel. Murder after all these years. By a strap, bust back after all these tears. Mama's crying, how they gon' heal? How you will feel? Fuck silence, pick up, bitch, this shit ill. Big stick on me, y'all kill, we kill. Been tied, fuck cardboard signs, we in the field. It's the Ku Klux Cops. They on a mission, it's the Ku Klux Cops. Got hidden agendas, it's the truth, I won't stop. Open cases, police already hate me, why not? Make a rich ass city look like trash. To whoever make the rules, we need answers fast. Oh, they mad, fuck it, let's make them mad. Without that badge, you's a bitch and a half. Fuck the police, fuck the police, fuck the police. Fuck the police, fuck the police. Fuck the police, fuck the police. Fuck the police, fuck the police.